Action National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Harold Kimball and Arlene Shapiro interviewing Mark Stern on March 3rd, 1986 at his home. Now, Mark, will you give us your name and address, please?
Mark Stern, 6332 Phillips Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15217.
Now, we're going to begin by asking you to tell us about your birth, where you were born, the year, and a little bit about your background, including your parents, your brothers or sisters, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles. But we'll start at the beginning with, where were you born in the year?
I was born on June 5th, 1923, in Görlitz, Germany. It happened during the time that my parents were Polish, came to Germany. They were trying to settle there, and actually they spent only a couple of years there and they went back to Poland. As I said, my parents were from Poland, my father from Nowy Sącz, my mother from Jasło, and they both come from very Orthodox family. My grandparents, in fact, one of them was a rabbi and the other one was a teacher. They made a living by solving the Jewish problems in homes. So to say in Yiddish, they used to say paske de shala, to answer the question that came up in connection with kashrut or any way part of life. My mother's family was quite small. She had a brother and two sisters. The only survivor from that family was her brother, who went to Palestine. And actually, he didn't go to Palestine, he went to Israel after the war. And her sister, who was married and lived in Germany, went also to Israel. The other sister died in the Holocaust. My father had 16 brothers and sisters. It was a large family. The only survivor from that family was one of the brothers, who also after the war was in Poland, and from Poland paid his way to be allowed to leave and go to Israel. To come to the type of family that my father had was very strict Jewish family. The only black sheep of the family was the brother of my grandfather, who went into the assimilated world and became a very rich owner of forests in the Polish country. I guess he set some of the examples, because I remember when my father's family came to visit us in Kraków, where we settled down after the parents came from Germany back to Poland, that in that family the only one with a beard was my grandfather. I remember that big, long, white beard and kapot down, the total Hasidic presentation, whereas the children lived assimilated life, not religiously, but on the outward, they looked like Polish people. And they acted maybe like that. So did my father. Our home in Kraków, we lived in a non-Jewish neighborhood. My father worked on Saturday, but insisted that his three children, I had a brother who was 4 years older than me, a sister that was 2 years older than me, insisted that all the three children went to Hebrew school from the beginning of the education throughout their life. So the three of us went to private Tarbut Hebrew school in Kraków. We, of course, observed each Jewish holiday. We were very Zionistically minded. The white and blue Keren Kayamet Pushka was in our house, and we were taught how to do the tzedakah by being forced in the beginning to make donation to the Pushka, and that of course became part of our life. And we were very active in the Zionistic organization. As a matter of fact, I remember Hanoch HaTzioni, which was a very active Zionistic organization in Krakow, and we all belonged there, and we all went to meetings. And the kind of a life that we lead, it was truly the Jewish identity life. That's the best way I can describe it. And my father got established in Krakow in contracting business. He and two of his brothers, as I said, there were 16 children, there were 8 girls and 8 boys, so 3 of them wound up living next to each other, and they went into contracting business. One of them handled all the wood for the buildings. My father handled all the concrete and other part except the hardware, which was the third brother. As 3 of them, they were known to be the biggest builders in Krakow. The memories from those times are just wonderful, because we used to go visit our grandparents in the respective towns, but mainly I used to go to the parents, to grandmother, who was the mother of my mother. And that grandmother was very close to me. We used to go there to a small shtetl where all my cousins and all my aunts and uncles were Hasidim. And they used to wear kapotas and strandals, and Friday night was preparation for Shabbos. And the festive way of life of the Jewish community was so familiar to me because of that. So as you see, we had a good preparation for being Jewish. We knew what does it mean to be a very Orthodox and observing Jew, as well the ones so-called assimilated who maintained their Judaism, and they knew they are Jewish, but who wanted to live within the non-Jewish society with a sight of future in Palestine. I know in those times they used to talk about Madagascar and other things, but we always dreamt of Israel.
I have a point here to ask about. It seems to me that so far you haven't mentioned any difficulties. What year was this again?
This period. This period was from 1925, which is 2 years after I was born, up to maybe 2 years before the war.
Then the question is, how was it living as a Jew in those years in this Catholic world? What difficulties, if any, you haven't described any?
Very proper question. Because we lived in Poland, we lived in Krakow, and we got used to understanding that we are Jewish and understanding that there are certain holidays that you have to watch yourself. I'd never forget when on Easter they used to have the Easter parades outside of our houses, and we used to close all the windows and everything, because for the reason that they were looking to find Jews and so to say punish them for the blood libel. This was very known, and we were very afraid of that. But we lived in that scary world, and we were able to make non-Jewish friends. I had very good friends, and I thought they were very good friends of mine. Disappointment came in 2 years before the war. That's why I said that in 1937, when my brother graduated the high school, was supposed to go to university, And on the first day in university, they beat him up just because he was Jewish. And when my father said, you will not go back to that university, I'm making arrangement for you to go to Palestine to study in Technion, in Haifa. That's when we realized that my father knew what was going on better than we. We as children didn't feel it as much. Mm-hmm. And my father had made a plan at that time. His plan was wonderful. My brother finished high school. He's going to go to Israel, to Palestine then, and study. 2 years later, my sister will graduate. And she will go in 1939. And of course, 4 years later, we are 2 years apart, I will finish, and by then he will liquidate everything, and we will all live in the Holy Land, in the Promised Land, because we lived that way, and we didn't even realize that this was his goal. But the faith did not want it, because in 1937, my brother went, I tell you, within 2 weeks, the arrangement was made by telegraph, telephone, and my brother was on the ship going to Haifa. He was registered in Haifa Technion. And the second one, my sister was supposed to go because I had letters that my brother gave me after the war. How excited she was that she just graduated and she's going to go within another month. She's going to go to Palestine and join him and study there. But the war broke out. She never made it. In 1939, September, when everything was to be put together for her, the whole world collapsed for us as Jews. This is when the war started. This is when Germany came and attacked Poland.
In 1939.
And we realized that our friends, the non-Jews, were not our friends. That the maid that used to work for us left immediately because she couldn't work for Jews. Yeah. That the people that work in our business didn't want to work for us anymore. My father escaped because the rumors were that when the Germans come into Krakow, they kill out all the adult Jews. So he wound up in Lemberg, which is Lviv in Poland. The Russians occupied Lemberg while the Germans were on this side of Poland. When my father registered to come back home, the Russians sent him to Siberia because he was anti-communist, because he wanted to go back home. He didn't want to stay with them. And I myself, I was trying to escape the Germans. And they caught up with me. I remember I was on the road walking. I lost my bicycle already. And suddenly they were shooting from one side, there were the Germans. From the other side, the Russians. And the Polish soldiers were right where I was. And I went into the ditch and I was lying there till the war ended. The Polacks gave up. The Russians and Germans divided the country. They put me on a bus. There were no buses, on a truck, and they sent me back to Krakow, where my mother and sister were. So I came in back to Krakow to see that I have to become the breadwinner at the age of 16 to support my mother and my sister.
So, to make it clear, did they return you to Krakow as a free person,
at that time, still as a free person. That time, this was the beginning of the war. It took a while, at least a month or so, before they said that we have to wear yellow stars. Mm-hmm. Once they settled, they started with those signs all over, saying that the order of the German is that all the Jewish people are not to walk after certain hours on the street. They all have to wear yellow stars and they have to obey the orders. They have to give up all their radios and all their possessions, whatever. And I was operating, you know, to support my family, my sister and my mother. I took over the business of my father, and I was operating it, making a lot of money because people were still building. They needed materials, and I had plenty of them. And walking around with a lot of bills in my pockets. They were from the country. They were coming in with food, with eggs, with chickens, with whatever, and giving it to us for whatever they needed. Till one day, there was a German officer with a couple soldiers and few civil dressed Germans walked in, and they say, "We are from the German government, we're taking over your business." And we knew that it's going to happen sooner or later. I asked him if I could work there, and the answer was, "No, we don't employ Jews." So they took all the keys, they took everything, and they sent me home. When I came home, I said, "It's time to leave Krakow. It's not the place to be." So of course, we went to the place where my favorite grandmother lived in Jasno, near Jasno, which is in Galicia, Poland. And we picked ourselves up, rented a truck to take few possessions, and left Krakow. I was never in Krakow back afterwards.
And where did you head to?
I was heading
another
toward...
Another country?
No. Galicia is part of Poland.
I see.
It didn't take us a day to get there, because the distance is like not like in America. So we hired somebody, drove us over there, and they brought us to my grandmother's house, and she gave us a room to stay in. And as a matter of fact, there were three bedrooms, so my mother and sister stayed in one, she stayed in the other, and I had a one room for myself. And we lived there for a while, again, not really realizing where we're going, what is happening, what is going to happen. And it doesn't take long, because the war started in 1939. I would say, I don't remember exactly, but it had to be at the end of 1940 that we already were in a ghetto in that town. They took us into a place that there were maybe four streets with a little marketplace. They closed it off with fences, walls, and they told us, "That's where you're gonna live now." We had one room and a kitchen, and that's where we lived.
Well, I've often wondered, what were the mechanics? Did they go and take over these homes and evict those people so that they would have room for you? How was it? What was the mechanics?
The mechanics were very simple. They headed to the science. Announcements made over loudspeakers, cars going around, everybody Jewish, allowed to take a suitcase, whatever he can carry, and has to show up to a marketplace. Anybody found out outside will be shot. So you took whatever you could carry and you went to marketplace. And then they put you into an area and say, "Well, we want to know who you choose to run your government of your ghetto, of your area." And there were a few people who were chosen, people that we knew that we can trust. And they were the ones that assigned different apartments, different rooms for people. And we moved in and organized our life. Okay. We had our own police, we had our own supervisors, and we were trying to help each other as much as we could.
This is in Galicia.
That's right.
Was this a Jewish section to begin with that you're going into?
It was mostly Jewish section, yes.
So, in other words, you were moving into people's homes that have been evicted.
They were to share it with another family, with another two families, according to the size.
Oh, they would double up.
They would double, they would triple up, according to how many rooms they had. And we had to do it ourselves. They didn't do it. They told us, "That's where you live. You're closed off. Now you arrange everything." So there were some very nice people they were helping each other, they were working with each other, and we were trying to just cooperate with the leadership, because they had a very heavy burden. From then on, the Germans put their orders to them, not to other people. They would say, we need 20 people to do some work on this and this street. Tomorrow morning we come in, we want 20 people to work. And they had to choose, they had to find who will work, and they were trying to get people that were healthy to go out and work.
But how did you subsist? Food, clothing? You weren't working anymore?
No, you weren't working anymore, but you dealt. You had something. You had some valuables.
To barter with?
To barter, to change, to do exchange. You are a shoemaker, so you make me the shoes, and I'm a tailor, and I make you the pair of pants. And well, I don't have anything like this, but I have a ring that is very valuable, and I give it to you.
Is this
among Jews?
Among Jews, in other words, you are cut off.
No. You're cut off from the world.
What about food?
But you are getting food. You are good questions. Yeah. You are getting food from the non-Jews who were bartering with it too, because they were getting gold and they were getting valuables, and for that they were smuggling in food to us. There were certain rations that we were getting from Germans, minimal amount of rations. For that we had to supply labor. We're building roads for them. We're doing all kinds of manual labor. They needed one day to do electrical rewiring in the Gestapo room. They had a special house, the secret service, the German secret service. And they said, we want an electrician. And nobody wanted to go because they didn't know if they'd come back. And I volunteered and I went in. And this was the first time that I didn't know if I'm going to live through the day, because I had to install electricity throughout the house. And I knew something from it because we were in the construction business. And as I was drawing the line to the basement, I saw the cages that they keep people like animals in. And I thought, since I saw, they're going to shoot me after. But they didn't. I finished my work and they let me go.
How did you communicate with them? German?
Anybody that speaks Yiddish can communicate with German. But there's one thing that they had. They have what they call Volksdeutsche, which is Ukrainian. This is new Ukraine. Galicia, Ukraine, White Russia is not far. So there are many of them that volunteers to work for the Germans, and they were called Volksdeutsche. And they were worse than the Germans. They were the ones that were afraid even more than of Germans.
What was that again? What were they called?
Volksdeutsche. The German nationals, they called them. They said that they are the vanguard of the Germany in Poland. They are the one that will take over the country and run it. And whatever promises they made them, I don't know.
These are Polish citizens, right?
Well, they were Polish. They were Ukrainians, yes. Oh. Polish living on the border of Russia. Mm. White Russia. And they were the ones that are simple people. One of the things, lessons that I have learned in the war, that the hate that was propagated by the Germans, it made them successful. Seems like the humans thrive on hate, that they have to have emotions. And their emotions of hate kept them together and kept them willing to do things that normally human beings wouldn't do. And the atrocities that I'm referring to, I'm sure you're well aware of.
Yes. So, yeah, we have about 5 minutes. This is your background. Were your parents with you during all this, and your grandparents? Were you living as a family unit in those terrible times?
And that, first of all, to go back to the times when there were good times, we were very affluent and we were very spoiled. At the same time, we knew what the life is about, because as children we had to help the parents. We were brought up by our father, who was a very strict man, that you don't freeload. at the age of 14, 15, I used to go and help out in the business. I used to pour concrete, and I used to learn how to do work.
Mm-hmm.
They were the best times of my life, because you knew that you can get anything you want. At the same time, you learned that to earn a living is a wonderful life. It's a better life than going gallivanting and what today's children sometimes do. Yeah. I think that they knew the secret of how to bring up children. Give them everything, but at the same time require from them discipline. I remember I used to come home, and we had a big house with a maid and everything else. First thing at the door, we used to take the shoes off, because if the father was in the living room, we shouldn't disturb him. Not because of the floor would be cleaned by the maid, but the respect to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It was so strict. But if they went out in the evening, and they used to go out at least once a week, twice a week to nightclubs or whatever, oh, we used to tear the house apart. And then the maid would
die
in. I saw the parents coming, and we used to jump into the bed. And we had a wonderful childhood.
Not much different than today.
But later, it was just love that we could give to each other. My grandmother was a saint. And if I have to thank anything to God, if I have to say to Him thanks, is for one thing. She died a natural death. She was one of the last people to die in ghetto and being buried in the regular cemetery by us, by the family, because my mother was sent to gas chambers, my sister was sent to gas chambers, and of course, as you heard before, my father was in Siberia, where I have found out that day after the war ended, he was going back home to try to find the rest of the family, and he died of typhus. So that's where it comes that I wound up to be alone from the whole family.
But there's an important question struck me. Here you are living under this terrible kind of control. Were there amongst you in that ghetto young, what do we call them, radicals, revolutionaries, young Jews who felt the oppression and wanted to say, hey, let's revolt, let's get together, let's do something? Did that ever occur?
Yes and no. There were young people and old people that left the ghettos, ran away into forest, and became partisans and fought the Germans. The Warsaw Ghetto is an example of resistance. They didn't talk too much about it, because there was another element, of course, like in every nation, of the people that thought that they would get into good graces of Germans by giving away these contacts and by being responsible for many of them dying and being killed by Germans just for that, because they were trying to organize. Look, in the first camp, and I guess we come to that too, we were all going to escape the camp. A large breakout. The partisans were going to come and give us arms. And we had it all organized. There were 6 leaders, and I knew personally each one of them. They found out, Germans found out about it. They were still in Poland. They got us together, and they killed all 6 of them in front of us, and we had to bury them.
Yeah.
So you couldn't get organized. They knew how to get one man against another. It was horrible times. It was times that as much as you lived like a unit, you knew that you have to try to help each other. You still lived alone, because you knew also that if you say the wrong thing, you will not live through it if you say it to the wrong person.
Okay, we're going to have to turn the tape.